The title of the message today is Hide and Seek. Would you please say that? Say hide and seek, hide and seek. I want to read to you Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. I want you to know the Lord has placed you in a very specific situation, in a specific place. He planned that. And so it's not by accident. Verse 27, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Now, would you please say hide and seek? Say hide and seek. Now, I don't know about you, but as a family, we used to love playing hide and seek. And probably one of my most favorite memories was when I was playing hide and seek with the girls. They were probably five. Sierra would have been five. Skylar would have been two. Maybe more like 18 months and 4.5 years old. And so we were playing in the house, and they found the best hiding place. And we just had a hallway, and there was a little closet there, and that's where our washer and our dryer was. And they found that they could open up that door and climb up on to the washer and the dryer. That was an amazing hiding place. And so I could just hear them giggling before I got there. They were just so excited about that hiding place. And I heard them. I walked by. I wondered where they were, even though I could hear them laughing. And then finally, I opened the door, and they just squealed with delight. That was the greatest hiding place they had ever found. But here's the great thing about it. We kept playing it, and they kept going back to the same hiding place. I mean, it must have been four or five times. And every time, it just got louder and louder. They were just delighted. And how many people know I was delighted to find them every single time and to see them laughing? And so we love hide and seek. Now, the secret of an adult, when you're playing hide and seek with children, is that you can't make it too difficult. I've seen some people play hide and seek with their kids, and oh, they're never going to find me. You've missed the whole point of hide and seek. You hide hard enough that it's a bit of a challenge, but if you have to hide behind a curtain and show your feet under there just so they know where you're at, that's the secret to hide and seek. And so it's no fun if you can't be found. And so I have a lot of great memories about hide and seek. Now, I want you to know this: God delights in finding us. And so my girls loved that game. They loved finding the place. They loved hiding. They loved it when I found them. But I loved finding them. I was delighted. And I want you to know God delights in finding us. Listen to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. A brief theological excursus, you'll see the phrase over and over in the scripture, Jesus, the Son of God. But then you'll see this phrase, the Son of Man. That's because Jesus was fully man, but he was fully God. When God wants us to know that he was the Son of God, he reveals in the text the Son of God. When he wants us to know that he was as human as all of us, he was fully man, then he'll be revealed as the Son of Man. And so Jesus came as a human. Jesus came as the Son of God, but the Son of Man, to seek and to save the lost. God delights in finding us. And I want to say this at the outset, that children really have a sense of wonder. That's why hide and seek is so much fun, because children have this sense of wonder, a sense of excitement. Have you ever thought about this? Why do little babies and children like peekaboo? Isn't that fascinating? I was thinking about trying that with some of you, but I just knew that would not go over very well if I kept playing peekaboo with you today. But if you played peekaboo with a little child, with a little kid, they love it. But you know, psychologists will tell us that peekaboo, The reason why kids like that so much is it teaches children object permanence. It teaches them a pattern of recognition. What's object permanence? Object permanence is this. If a parent says peekaboo, the parent disappears, but then suddenly they reappear again. What that's teaching the child is that mommy and daddy aren't going anywhere. You may not see mom and dad right this moment, but mom and dad haven't gone anywhere. That's a powerful message to a child. So just because a parent goes off to work, it doesn't mean that a parent has abandoned or left their child. It teaches a child what they call permanence or object permanence. It also teaches them pattern recognition, and it builds trust. It teaches the kid that mom and dad are not leaving. They're always going to be there. And so hide and seek is a wonderful experience. It teaches us a lot. Would you please say hide and seek out loud? Say hide and seek. So I want to talk about this today. Number one, God gave us passion to seek Him. You realize that? God gave you passion. People are passionate beings. And if you think about this, much of our world revolves around romance. Much of our world revolves around passion. Are you going to find your significant other? And you pursue that person with passion. When Sarah and I were engaged, we were engaged for 6 months, and we were in Southern California. And after a few months, then she went back to Colorado to get ready for the wedding. And when the wedding came, then I drove from California to Colorado, and I hadn't seen her for 3 months. And I got in that car, and I drove nonstop. I think it could be done. It was 16 or 18 hours. The only thing I stopped for was gas and maybe a drive-through, something to eat. I was driven by passion. I couldn't wait to see her. And so I get there late at night, and I had to let her know I was in Colorado. And so I go to the house, and I picked up a little rock and threw it on her window. I know, my life is like a movie. It's like a movie. So I picked up a rock, I threw it on the window till she woke up, and she came down. So I let her know that I was there, but I drove with passion. I drove with excitement. I could not wait to see her. I hadn't seen her for a few months. You know, God designed you that way. God gave us this passion. But really, if you think about it, that's a passion to know Him. It's a passion to seek Him. In fact, marriage is just a picture. It's just an image. It's just a reflection of that passion of knowing God. So when we get to heaven, we're not going to be married in the sense that we are here, because that's going to be fulfilled in our relationship with Christ. And so all of this drive, all of this passion for romance, really deep down, it's a drive and a passion to get to know God. And if we could understand that more, I think it would really set us free. It would really help us in different ways. And so God gave us a passion to seek Him. You know, God wants you to seek Him. And that's part of why He plays hide and seek with you. He wants you to seek Him. Now, think about Adam and Eve for a moment. Adam and Eve, they sought the one thing that they couldn't have. They sought the one thing that they couldn't have. Listen to Genesis 2, 15 to 17, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded him, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." So Adam and Eve ate the one thing that God told them not to do. They did the one thing that God told them not to do. And if you think about this, there's something in every single person that wants to know. We want to know, we want to know, we want to know. And so that's why we have gossip magazines. That's why we have 24-hour news channel. There's something about wanting to know. That's why there's this thing called reality shows. People want to know. There's a drivenness for know. So Adam and Eve, they wanted to know, but they sought the one thing that God told them not to seek. And so what happens, unfortunately, in a broken world is that people start seeking for life in dead places. They start seeking for things to fill that void in their heart or that emptiness in their heart that only God can fulfill. And if we'd really realize that, that the drive, the passion, what we're really craving is love. You're craving love. You're craving a relationship with the Lord. And so God gave us a passion to seek Him. He wants us to seek Him, but let's seek Him and not seek other things. You know, God's designed you to seek the Lord. That's the way He designed you. You're made that way. There's passion. And so there should be an excitement of looking for the Lord. Listen to Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. There was treasure. Now, I don't know about you guys, but we have certain family movies that we go through. In fact, when we were kids, we would always preview, or when our kids were young, we would preview the movies first, make sure there wasn't anything inappropriate or bad language. And so I got to a place where I'd have the movie memorized. And if there was, you know, something inappropriate that was said, I would just mute it. I knew right where it was. And if I needed to fast forward something, I could fast forward it. And so one of our favorite movies was National Treasure. That's just a fun movie of looking for treasure. And so if you knew that you had accessible at your fingertips, that you might be able to find millions of dollars or billions of dollars, you would do whatever you could to try to get that treasure. And so that's what this parable is all about. There should be an excitement in going after the Lord. There should be an excitement in looking for Him. If we could get the revelation that the greatest thing to go after is the Lord Himself. That's what He designed you for. So much of your drive for fulfillment, much of your passion for romance and life is really deep inside you wanting to know God. And if we could understand that, it would really help set us on a trajectory of success and fulfillment and significance. So there's an excitement of looking for Him, but I think you'll agree with me, there's a mystery in looking for Him. Sometimes we feel like it's hard to find the Lord, or we're looking for answers. There's a mystery in looking for Him. You know, Jesus taught in parables. In Matthew 13, verse 3, it says that He told them many things in parables. He told them stories. He gave them illustration. A parable, the word para in the Greek means to be alongside of. So Jesus would make a point, and then He would tell a story or give an illustration. That's why He would say the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, but He would say the kingdom of heaven is like, para in the Greek. It's like this. And then He would tell a story. And in that story, everybody would begin to understand what He was talking about. And sometimes it was very, very notable. They could understand the parable of the lost son. There were things that they could understand. Other times it was very difficult for them to understand. In fact, in this scripture, in that same passage in Matthew 13, verses 10 to 13, the disciples came to Him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." And so if you think about the ministry of Jesus, He spoke to the crowds in parables. He would talk to them in stories. And then with the 12 disciples, He would give them a little more understanding. And then, you know, Jesus even had three that were closer, Peter, James, and John. And so there are some that He was very, very detailed with. There were others that a little more general. But then to the 70 or to the crowds, he would speak in parables. And He did this on purpose to see one who was hungry for Him. And the Bible here, it's amazing. He says, those who have will be given more. You get a little bit of revelation, you'll get more. But those that don't have, they're not going to see. Listen to this scripture again. He says they see, but they do not see. Those seeing, they do not see. Have you ever seen something, but you really didn't see it? Have you ever seen it, but no, you really didn't see it? Or how about this? You heard what the person said, but you didn't understand. It sounds like some of our marriages sometimes. We hear what our husband or wife says to us, but we're not really understanding, right? And so a parable can certainly help. But what the Lord is after is he's telling a story, one, a parable, one, so that we can understand. It brings greater revelation. But sometimes there's a mystery to it where you've got to go after him some more. And so when you understand this journey, it gets exciting. I have been meditating on some parables for years, for decades. I'm sure you're the same way. I've been meditating on some verses and some passages for decades. And then as I'm meditating, as I'm reading it over and over, as I'm thinking about it, and I might read other people's thoughts on it, but I might get a revelation on something, and then it might be applied to my certain situation. It's amazing how the lights will go on. It's an exciting journey because you start getting some understanding on something. You're going after treasure. It's a treasure hunt. Part of the reward and the process is the excitement of being in that adventure of getting to know the Lord. And so we understand that there's an excitement in looking for him. There's a mystery of looking for him, but there is a promise to find him. So I've got good news for you today. If you seek the Lord, you will. You will find him. If there's something in your heart that says, God, I want to know you more. God, I want to understand you more, then you will begin to understand. He's going to reveal himself to you. So I want to read Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're going to read verses 10 to 14. We often quote verse 11, but we don't look at the context. The context of this passage is absolutely fascinating. If you look at all the verses that are surrounding verse 11, it's really quite remarkable what the Lord says to us. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. We don't have time to talk about that the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, but God promised them after 70 years of captivity, I'll bring you back. But you can apply that to your life and say, you know what? We were all in captivity and God has brought us to the promised land. Now, verse 11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. What a wonderful verse. We've quoted that. We've memorized that. We hold on to that. But look at the next verse. Then you will call upon me, and then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So the promise is this. If you seek the Lord and you seek him with all your heart, and it's got to be with all your heart. It's not just partial. It's not just a half-heartedness. No, with all of your heart, the promise is you will find him. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So as a footnote, this verse, God is prophesying that they would be that the Israelites would be in exile, but he brings them back to Israel. In our context, what God is saying to us today is if you'll seek me, you're going to find me. That's the promise. And all of us have been in captivity. All of us have been away from the Lord, but God is calling us lovingly, saying, if you will seek me, then you will find me. Listen to Proverbs 8 and verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. I have a good word for you today. If you'll seek the Lord, you're going to find him. If you have a heart that just says, you know what, God, I don't understand everything, but I just want to seek you, I want to pursue you, and I would like more understanding, the promise is you will find him, and he'll begin to give you understanding. Say amen to that. So that's the promise. Now, here's the rewards of finding him. Now, I want you to just parallel Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 in that pericope, but I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11, and just connect this passage with that one. This is Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 6, this is so, so powerful. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. So when you come to the Lord, when you pray, you don't necessarily see the Lord, You may not even feel him, but you come to him in faith and you say, God, I believe that you exist. Now, watch what he says here. If you do that, you have to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, or you could say diligently, who diligently seek him. So if you will seek the Lord, he will reward you. I think we should pause for a moment. Just say this out loud. Say, if I seek the Lord, he's going to reward me. Yeah. If you will seek the Lord, if you'll go after the Lord, the promise is you're going to find him, but he is going to reward you. So let me go quickly and just mention some of the rewards of seeking God that you'll see in the scripture. Listen to this, Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. I promise you this because the scripture says it. If you'll seek the Lord, you'll find him. If you knock at the door, he'll open it. And he will answer your heart's cry. Now, what are the rewards? Let me give you seven that I see in the scripture. We'll just take a quick journey through the book of Psalm. You could find many, many other scriptures, but just through Psalms, we see seven different rewards. Psalm 9:10 says this, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. If you seek the Lord, you'll have assurance. Everyone say assurance. Assurance that God isn't going anywhere. It's like peekaboo. He's not going anywhere. You might feel like he's hidden. Or you might feel like you're trying to get an answer. But he hasn't gone anywhere. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. It's assurance. Number two, answers. If you seek the Lord, you're going to get some answers. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. If you seek the Lord, he'll give you answers. You may not get the answer right away, but keep seeking him. May not get all the answers right at the moment that you feel like you need them, but I want you to know God's always on time, and if you'll seek him, you're going to get the answer. So number one, you have assurance. Number two, answers. Number three, provision. The promise in the scripture is that if you seek the Lord, he'll provide for you. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 10. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I've had the privilege on being on a number of different of safaris in Africa. And you know, lions are dependent on hunting. They have to get their prey. If they grow weak or tired, they're going to go hungry. It's an interesting parallel. But then he says this, those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. God will always provide for you, but you got to seek him. Here's another one, number four, you'll be glad. If you seek the Lord, you're going to be glad. Psalm 40, verse 16, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. You know, if you've been struggling with anxiety, depression, heaviness, feeling overwhelmed, seek the Lord and gladness will come. It's a promise in the scripture. Make that your scripture. Hold on to it and say, Lord, I'm holding on this. You said if I seek you, I'm going to be glad. Number five, you'll be encouraged. Listen to Psalm 69, verse 32. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. Man, that's a powerful verse that if you seek the Lord, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be glad. You're going to have assurance of his presence. You're going to get answers. You're going to have provision. Number six, you're going to be blessed. If you seek the Lord, you will be blessed. Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. You know what that means? That means you're going to have favor. Favor at work, favor with your family, favor in your finances, favor with your health. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. If you seek the Lord, you'll be blessed. And number seven, you're going to have freedom. Freedom in your life. Listen to Psalm 119. Verse 45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Seeking the Lord, seeking out his ways will bring you freedom. Instead of being hindered, instead of being pulled back, instead of being weighed down, you have the freedom to run. You have the freedom to fly. Why? Because you're seeking the Lord. So a quick survey through Psalms gives us some incredible rewards of seeking the Lord: assurance, answers, provision, being glad, encouraged, blessed, and freedom. You'll walk about in freedom. My hope and prayer as I share some of this is there's something inside of you that says, man, I want to seek the Lord. I want to go after the Lord. I want to pursue the Lord. So these are the rewards. God has designed us to seek Him. There's an excitement of looking for Him, a mystery of looking for Him. But there's a promise to find Him, and these are the rewards of finding Him. So I want to say this today. God is inviting you. He's inviting us to seek Him. He's inviting you to go after Him. He's inviting you to go after a passionate pursuit of Him as a person, to really know Him. And maybe you're here today and you know some things about Him, but do you know Him? Are you really going after Him? Are you pursuing Him to say, man, I want that personal relationship? And maybe you've committed your heart to the Lord recently. Say, yeah, I'm really trying. This is what I want to do. I want to pursue the Lord. So God is inviting us to seek Him. Now, here's the pathway that I see in the Scriptures. You have a desire, then you discipline yourself, and then there's delight. So the desire is actually inside you. You may not realize it, but every single person has a desire to seek the Lord. We saw that in the Scripture. God created you. He designed you. So deep within you, there's a desire. You might have been confused and you're seeking other stuff. You might have been confused and thinking, well, if I just found the right person, that would be fulfilling. And there is an aspect to that. Don't misunderstand. You find your partner, your husband or your wife. You find that and there is fulfillment. But that's not what's going to bring deep fulfillment and meaning in your life. And so we might have pursued other things. You might have pursued careers or money or other kinds of things. They might have been a bit misguided, but if you pursue the Lord, there's going to be fulfillment. So it's more than you realize. You have a desire in you more than you realize. So trust that. Trust that deep inside, God made you with passion, that you have this desire. So let me use this desire, discipline, and delight. Let me use an example of getting into physical shape, or if you're training for an athletic event or a sport, or you just want to be a little in a little better condition. Think about this at this level. First, there's always a desire. Now, when you have that desire, there's something in you. You're like, man, I want to play that sport better. I want to get in better physical condition. And then what do? You envision what you want. You set a goal. You want to play better. You want to be in better shape. You want to lose weight. When it comes to physicality, you envision something and then you begin to set goals for yourself, and then you have to discipline yourself. So what do you do to discipline yourself? Well, sometimes you have to eliminate some distractions. You have to eliminate the sugar in your house. You have to eliminate some of the things that might be your weakness. I'm laughing because I love ice cream, but I have to eliminate some of those distractions. And then one thing I've learned is that you start slow. You start slow. So for me, because I grew up playing sports, and then I thought, well, let me just go out and run. But if you haven't run for a long time, you're going to be in pain and you might injure yourself. So you start out slow. But if you start out slow, you'll build little by little on that success. Before you know it, you'll be amazed at how far you're running and how good you feel. So you start slow because that eliminates injuries. It builds stamina. And then I found out this about exercise and conditioning. You have to be consistent. You have to develop a routine. So all of those things then eventually lead to delight. What's the delight? Man, you start feeling much better. It starts releasing endorphins. You actually start getting a runner's high. I've talked to some people and say, well, I've never experienced a runner's high. You haven't run long enough. You got to run a little longer. You have to be a little more consistent. But it releases those endorphins. And then those of you that, whether you've lifted weights or whether you've trained for a sport or whether you're just conditioning yourself, what you find happening is you look forward to the next workout. You can't wait. Can't wait to go running again. You can't wait to lift weights again. You're looking forward to playing that game again. You experience the delight. So just a small example from physical conditioning, you go from delight, you got to discipline your, or you go from desire, you discipline yourself, and then there's delight. Now, it's the same thing when you seek the Lord. There's a desire inside of you, but then you got to discipline yourself to seek the Lord. And there's many ways to do that, to pray, to talk to the Lord, to worship. And you may not necessarily always feel like doing it, but as you discipline yourself, then the delight of knowing Him and the delight of His presence, the delight of a relationship with Him, all the rewards that we talked about are there. You find yourself looking forward to the next workout. You find yourself looking forward to the next discipline of journeying with the Lord, because it's not so much about the things that you do, but it's about a person. Say amen to that. And so it works the same way. So that's really the path that I see. Now, there's a pattern, and it's not complicated. There's a pattern that I'm going to give you today, and it's simply read and pray. Read and pray. Everyone say, I can do it. Pinch your neighbor and say, you can do this. Okay? Read and pray. Read and pray. Read and pray. So I told you we have certain family movies, and one of our favorites that the kids grew up watching, we just watched it this last week again, is Cool Runnings. Cool Runnings is a great movie. If you haven't seen Cool Runnings, it's about the first Jamaican bobsled team. It is one of those movies where it's almost every scene is great. There's something out where you laugh out loud, at least I do, in this movie. It's just a delightful movie. Now, there's a couple of things in there that are inappropriate, and I have it memorized. I just mute it, and then there's two in particular. I just mute it, and so we were, and our house gets a little noisy sometimes, so we have the subtitles on. Now, that could be because it's noisy. Somebody's in the kitchen, or there's a conversation going on, but or it's also because I'm not hearing as well as I used to, or I have selective hearing. For things, you know, like for instance, I'm either not hearing as well, or it's because my wife wants me to do some work around the house, and I'm hearing, but I'm not understanding. I'm not understanding. So it was humorous because we were watching the movie and the subtitles were there, but I muted it, and they all started laughing. They said, "Dad, we can read it," So they could see what was said, but just because you can, just because you're a big person and you can and you know about it doesn't mean you should, right? That's pretty good preaching. So we're watching Cool Runnings, and there's a character in the movie. His name's Sanka Coffee. That is really his name, Sanka Coffee. So he is Sanka Coffee, and he's the best pushcart driver in all of Jamaica. And so there's a great line in this movie, and they make it to the Olympics. They're up in Canada, and it's quite humorous because they've never seen snow. They've never been exposed to the cold or anything like that. And so they're in their hotel room, and Sanka says this great line. And he's saying, and he's got his little hot pot. He's cooking his fried bananas there in the hotel. There's this great line. And he goes, "I'm going to catch up on my reading." And he pulls out this comic book. And so he's reading his comic book. So some of you, that's how you read. Now, reading comic books is great, actually. In fact, when I was a kid, what got me ignited about reading the Bible was when I saw that they had Bibles with comic strips, with pictures. That's great. So, I mean, I could see the picture. For a 12-year-old boy, that was exciting. That was really neat. So if you got to start with the comic book Bible, enjoy. You're blessed. You have the comic book Bible. You're also really blessed because we have audio. So you can listen to the Bible while you're driving to work. You can listen to it. You can watch the Word of God. We are blessed in this day and age. There are movies that are word for word from the Scripture. Okay? Now, all of that is a great start. Well, first, everyone say, I love you. Tell me. Feel the love, all right? That's a great start, but it's not a substitute for reading. Okay, now, and I know that some of us read. I grew up reading, so I enjoy reading. Not everyone enjoys reading. And I know some of you guys, you say, I don't like to read. And that's okay. We've got the comic book, we've got the audio, we got the movies. But I do want to challenge you a little bit. And if you'll hear my heart on this, there's a reason that God wrote this. He wrote this. There's a reason why Jesus came revealed as the Word of God. There's so much packed into all of that symbolism. But there's a reason why the Word of God is written. We're thankful for all these other things that can accentuate and help. But I want to say this, and there's been a lot of literature and studies out there on this, that if you read something, and actually if you read it out loud, it's even more powerful, it's even more potent, you read it out loud, that you will internalize it and learn it. And so I've discovered I like to listen to the Bible. Sometimes I'll listen to it while I'm riding my bike, and I'll listen to it, and it's good. But there's something about seeing it with my eyes, actually reading it. And so this is an invitation. You know, we go through the New Testament every year as a church. You can do this. That's one chapter a day, 5 days a week. And then that gives you the weekend to catch up if you missed a day, or to incorporate other things like the Psalms, Proverbs, Old Testament. But all of us could go through the New Testament in a year. It's not that difficult. One chapter at a time, and as you read it, there's something about that. It really touches your heart, and God begins to write His Word on your heart. So let's say this courageously. Say, I want to read God's Word. I want to read God's Word. There's something about reading, okay? Now, read and pray. Say that again. Read and pray. So we got to read. So the invitation is to read His Word. There's something about His Word. This is where you're going to find out who Jesus is. This is where you're going to find out the heart of God. This is where you're going to find out the things that He has done, what he thinks and feels about things. And my brother and sister, you need that. I need that more than ever in this world. With so many things coming down, if the world says that marriage is defined a certain way, but we see that marriage is defined according to God's Word between one man and one woman, that's where you get the definition of marriage. Say amen to that. Okay. So more than ever, we need to know God's Word. So you got to read. And then you got to pray. And sometimes we feel intimidated by that. My brother and sister, praying is actually not that hard, because it's a conversation. It's just talking. It's talking to the Lord. Now, I grew up in a church, and yeah, there was conversation with the Lord, but I just somehow had in my mind that prayer was difficult because I didn't feel that eloquent. Anybody felt that way? I didn't really know how to pray, what to pray. I wasn't sure. I mean, I was taught, yeah, talk to the Lord out of your heart, but it seemed really, really intimidating. But then I heard about a prayer language, and I got excited about that because I thought, wow, if I could pray in tongues, if I could pray in another language, then I could pray about some things that I don't know how to pray for. And there's many things about having a prayer language that the Bible says if you pray in the Holy Spirit, it builds you up. It charges you up. You know, this last season, I've had a lot going on. And so there's been a lot of pressure points, getting ready for a mission trip, you know, refinance of the mortgage, different things that we're going to roll out, you know, for the next year. Inconvenient time because of Christmas. Everything happening at what? You know the feeling, right? So I had all these pressure points. And I just got in the car coming to work, coming to the office. And I just started praying in the Spirit. I just started praying in tongues. And I just started getting happy. And I just started getting joyful. My spirit was being built up, and suddenly all that pressure began to leave because I was tapping into the things of the Spirit. And so you might have just recently committed to the Lord, and that seems really unusual to you to even hear about. Or maybe you grew up in a church that's very denominational or very traditional, and you never heard about those things. But I got great news for you. There's a prayer language for everyone. Everyone can have a prayer language. And so I got excited because I realized, you know what? I don't know how to pray, but I don't have to know how to pray. I can pray in the Spirit. And when we talk about conversation with the Lord, you don't have to worry about how you articulate things and whether you're eloquent. Just talk to the Lord out of your heart. Your prayer might be simply, God, I need you. Lord, I need some help. That's not real complicated, but you're talking to the Lord. And then you start talking to him about your problems and start talking to him about your life. You're just having a conversation. I think sometimes we make prayer way too complicated. It's really not that hard. It's just talking to the Lord. Somehow the church has made this thing all religious and that there has to be a certain form. No, it's just talking to the Lord. That's communication. So it's real simple. Read and pray. Let's say it out loud. Read and pray. That's the challenge. That's the invitation to get to know him, to play hide and seek with the Lord. Start reading and start praying. Start playing hide and seek with the Lord. I'll say it again. Hide and seek is a great game. It's a great game. And so you can go after the Lord. You may not understand everything all at once, but you're saying, God, I want to read and I want to pray. I need some answers to my life. But as I do that, he's going to give you more and more revelation. Amen? Let's say amen, say amen, say amen. Everyone say this. I want to play hide and seek. I want to play hide and seek. Praise the Lord.